사랑하는 성도 여러분, 전 세계 및 전국의 지구의 성도 여러분,
Dear brothers and sisters in the Lord, all saints from the branch churches and the local sanctuaries, GCN viewers and all children of God who attend the worship online, this is 78th lecture on Genesis. In the last lecture, I finished explaining the curses that God put on Eve and the serpent. Now, lastly, it's time for Adam. The words that God spoke to Adam can be found in the Genesis chapter 3:17-19. First, then to Adam he said, Because you've listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten from the tree about which I commanded you, saying, You shall not eat from it. You, husband, should you listen to your wives or not? Yes? You should or not? Right. You should listen with discernment. Even between spouses, you should not listen to anything that isn't the truth, and you should listen to anything with the truth. Listen to your wife's words if you are true, and don't listen if they aren't. Listen to your husband's words if they are true, and don't listen if they aren't. Therefore, the Bible also tells us to serve one another in the Lord. If it's true, we must follow it. Because you listened to your wives and ate from the tree I commanded you, you shall not eat from it, God said. In other words, Adam should have obeyed God's words, but instead he obeyed his wife's words. Many of you have encountered a similar situation. Let's understand this through today's message. If your parents go against God's word, you shouldn't listen to them. However, as long as it doesn't go against God's word, you should respect them and listen to their words. Why should we do this? Who is the supreme leader? So there's no one above the Almighty God, so we must first obey God's word. Because you listened to your wives and ate from the tree about which I commanded you, you shall not eat from it, he said. First, God defined Adam's sin by saying, You ate the fruit of the tree from which I commanded you not to eat. And he explained the circumstances of the crime by saying, Listen to your wife. Our God is so precise like this. He knows the heart, thought, words, and actions of all people as clearly as if he were looking into the palm of his hand. Therefore, nobody can feel treated unfairly before the judgment of God. God judges all things precisely according to justice. Our Lord Jesus knows well the attribute of God the Father. And so he said in Matthew chapter 6:4, so that your giving will be secret, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. This is a true donation. Doing it with sincerity and love without others knowing, not bragging about your own good deeds. With sincerity and with true love. In Matthew chapter 12, 36-37, but I tell you that every careless word that people speak, they shall give an accounting for it in the day of the judgment. No matter what nonsense you say, are you going to say later, that was a joke? That won't work. People who are good at telling jokes are also good at lying. Half of the joke is a lie. This means that no matter what useless words you speak, you will surely be judged on the day of the judgment. In Matthew chapter 12, 37, for by your words you will be justified. A single word from your lips can determine the life or death. Every word you say can become a laughing stock or a source of a controversy for the enemy devil's divisions. You may think you're speaking lightly, but in reality, it's not. If you're lacking in this regard, you need to correct it. Such a light words can lead to trials, tribulation, and the difficulties later on. Therefore, no matter where you are at any given moment, you should always pursue the goodness. May you joyfully practice the truth, not out of the fear or compulsion, but with the faith that even small good deeds will be rewarded. Now, God continued to say in Genesis chapter 3, 17, cursed is the ground because of you. In toil, you will eat of it all the days of your life. Because of Adam's sin, not only Adam, but also this earth, that is, the space of the first heaven was cursed. I mentioned some of the result of the ground having been being cursed when I explained Genesis chapter 3, 14. Let's briefly review them. First of all, the hidden attributes of the creature began to revealed. It was at this time that poisonous animals and plants came into existence. Everything is a result of this curse. So if you're cursed, you will experience all sorts of evils. You see all sorts of evils, germs, and other things growing in your body. When you're cursed, God turns away from you, and the angels who protect you also turn away from you. Then Satan takes a possession of your heart and mind, and you develop the evil thoughts and the weak heart. You misunderstand even the smallest things, feel uncomfortable, become irritable, and eventually become angry, or some of the evil things come out from you. If there's anyone like that, immediately repent and confess fast and prevent such things from taking hold. In fact, many believers are entering the spiritual realm through goodness, love, and virtue. So how can we go the other way? If this situation continues, the result is obvious. So let us obey God. Next species with a hideous appearances, such as those with thorns, appeared. Along with this, pathogenic microorganisms emerged. Until then, no animals had never, ever intentionally harmed another individuals. Everything circulated beautifully and worked in harmony. After the ground was cursed, however, a fleshly law was established in nature. The law of the jungle means that the weak becomes prey to the strong. Instead, the number of the weak individuals has increased compared to the strong. So the weak should have a large number of the individuals. They should have a many offspring. If there are more predators than weak animals, weak ones will eventually disappear. And if strong ones eat each other, the species will become extinct. God the Father created everything in order and harmony. He also provided the strong with the food to survive, so He ensured the weak who were preyed upon had a high reproduction rate and multiplied, preserving their species. How grateful I am for the consideration our Father gave to history. A more detailed explanation about this will be given as we get to Genesis chapter 3:18. After the ground was cursed due to Adam's sin, it was Adam who was most affected by its result. Just as God said, in toil you will eat of it all days of your life. Without working for it, Adam couldn't get food anymore. He didn't need to work at all to get food in the Garden of Eden. As a living being, he didn't really experience hunger. Yet when he did want to eat fruit to be filled, all he had to do was just pick it up and eat. When you eat the fruit of the Eden, it melts in your mouth and observed with the living any remaining. It was possible because in every corner of the Garden of Eden are found beautiful yet sweet fruits. There are so many different types of the fruits that you can easily find and eat as much as you want. But things change it. But the things change it. Adam had to work hard to obtain food. Without work of the planting a seed and cultivating it, he couldn't get food at all. Therefore, when God said, in toil you will eat of it all the days of your life, it means that true cultivation finally began in earnest. All the descendants of Adam who are born in earth can eat only by working for it all the days of their lives. By the way, when farmers harvest their crops, each harvest varies from one harvest to another. For some farmers, everything goes well and their harvests are plentiful. On the other hand, some farmers, despite their hard work, may only get a small harvest due to natural disasters. This scenario can be applied to all other fields as well. As you live on this earth, all of you can get incomes if you work. But some can work less while others have to really toil to get the same wage. There are people in the world who make a lot of money by having great insight and reading economic trends very well. In the Lord, however, there's a secret that anyone can receive a financial blessing even with just a little work. It's to recover the status that Adam had before he committed sin. It's because the curse that in toil you will eat of it came upon man due to the sin of Adam. Therefore, once restored to the image of the child of God, you can eat with a minimal toil. This doesn't mean you don't have to work diligently, though. It rather means that you can work less to get the same amount as before. So how much can you achieve if you work hard? Second Corinthians chapter 8 to 9 says, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he becomes poor, so that you through his poverty might become rich." You know why our Lord had to lie in the manger. You learn it from the book, The Message of the Cross. Our Lord is the Son of God, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. Yet the reason he was born poor is to free us from this poverty, from this curse. For our sake, he became the poor so that you might become rich through the poverty of a Son of God Almighty. So since God has already redeemed us from this curse and made us rich, we should not be poor. It's God's will that we become rich. However, if a believer is not wealthy and borrows and lends to others, it means he is under God's curse. If this curse is lifted, then there's no reason for him to be poor. He should naturally become wealthy. And 3 John chapter 1, 2 also says, Beloved, I pray that in all respects you may prosper and be in good health, just as your soul prospers. 3 John chapter 1, 2 also says, Beloved, if you see the beloved in the Bible, please keep that in mind. It is to mention something blessing to those who are loved by God. I pray that all in respects you may prosper and be in good health just as your soul prospers. When your soul prospers, our Lord and the people in heaven pray for your health, wealth, and businesses. Those who are not well off in spirit, commit sins, disobey God's will, and in doing so suffer hardship and material suffering. No one lives according to the word and suffers. Absolutely not. It's because greed and selfishness have conceived and gone beyond the limits that difficulties arise. As your soul becomes better, like Adam's before his sin, your spirit rules and governs your soul and body better. As a result, he may prosper in all respects and be in good health. Many of our members are witnesses to this. Some of them, everything they didn't work out and suffered a lot before going to church. But when you receive the Jesus Christ and receive the forgiveness of a sin and become a child of God, you experience the change in your life. As you live according to God's word, in the fullness of the Holy Spirit's blessing overflows in your workplaces and businesses. You sometimes give glory to God by receiving blessings that are much greater than the amount of the work you've done. I wish all of you could understand this principle of a blessing. May you not suffer or worry about the clothes, food, or your homes, but live an abundant life while being cultivated on this earth. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Now, let's take a look at Genesis chapter 3:18. God said in the verse, Both the thorn and the thistles in shall grow for you. Here the thorns and the thistles symbolize two things. First, they refer to the plants for which man has no need. As a result of Adam's sin, a curse came upon the land, and originally fertile land gradually becomes corrupted. The unneeded plants also started growing. When Adam cultivated the field and grew plant to eat, weeds began to come out again and again. Adam had to pull them out so that he could get the produce that he wanted. If Adam had farmed the land before the curse, he would have harvested 30, 60, or 100 times what had sown without any special care. History tells us that fire was discovered during the Stone Age and the method for utilizing fire developed. But God taught humans how to farm from the beginning. Historians, when did our country discover fire and start farming like this? Our people have been farming since the beginning. It's not true that this technology was brought over from the Han Chinese. No. Korean people have been farming since the beginning. Evolutions in the human thought and idea, humans have been farming since the beginning, and the method have evolved over time. Korea, too, was in Iron Age before the Three Kingdoms period. Iron made the nations wealthy and powerful. People made all kinds of farming tools and weapons out of iron. They researched and invented things like rust resistant swords and impervious armor. In this way, our country, through the constant research and study, gradually became the stronger nation. If an arrow pierced the armor is useless. On the other hand, our people continued to invent and research arrow weaves that could penetrate armor. Through this, the country grew rich and powerful, and the researchers continued to study creating a variety of iron tools. So every tool made of the irons were stronger and stronger. Of course, there was no need to farm when Adam started the farming. It means the field would have been very fertile and there would be no weeds. After the earth was cursed, however, unnecessary crop undergrowth and the weeds came into the being. In order to get something to eat, Adam needed to cultivate the field. Thorn and the thistles symbolize this scrub, the plants and the weeds that became hindrances to farming. The thorns and the thistles spiritually symbolize the evil that began to grow in the heart of Adam. Before Adam committed sin, he had no evil in his heart. There was only knowledge of a spirit. After committing sin, however, evil was planted in his heart and it grew up like a thorn and the thistles. In a parable of the fields that Jesus told, the seed fell among the thorn and the thorn grew up with it and choked it out. Likewise, when evil, which is similar to thorn and thistles, was planted in his heart, it choked his spirit. When Adam was driven out to this earth, God took most of the breath of the life from him and left only a trace of it. Then, as the forms of the evil like a thorn and the thistles grew up in his heart, and the breath of the life cannot work properly. This is the same with his descendants that have been born in earth. Even though they are born with a seed of life, it's surrounded by the fleshly force and they cannot continue the work of the spiritual life. Only when we receive the Jesus Christ, receive forgiveness of the sin, and are born again by the Holy Spirit, does the seed of the life awaken and sprout. In order for the spirit to continue to grow and bear fruits, it's necessary to get rid of all the thorn and the thistles from the heart field. In other words, every form of the evil should be removed. Only then can the fruit of the Spirit be born abundantly. This is a true life of the faith. What does the Hebrews mention about the heart and the faith? It tells about the sincere heart and the full assurance of the faith. Then what happens next after having this heart? You will have a full assurance of a faith. After you bear a sincere heart, then you can get the purified heart with a sincerity and the true faith. There's no falsehood, no deceit, and no hatred, and no bad thought in your heart. So it becomes a complete faith that makes you be done according to your faith as the Lord says. Dear elders, if you have such a faith, what you've done will be according to your faith. No matter how vast a field is, it will look worthless if it's full of weeds. It's the same with a man's heart field. No matter how much power, fame, and wealth a person may have, if his heart is filled with untruth and evil, he's worthless before God. Therefore, I urge you to diligently cultivate your heart field. Why do you live in hardship or in pain or in poverty? If we become a true sons and daughters of the Father, there's no need to be poor. In the Bible, both Old and New Testament, there are countless words of blessing for God's children, for spiritual people. Whether you read Old or New Testament, you see granted the blessing to God's children. When you enter the Spirit, you will enjoy the abundant blessings. Some people urge people to read Deuteronomy 28 without even knowing why this blessing comes. They say it full of the words of a blessing, so read it. What do we need to know to live? Just read the Deuteronomy 28 100 times and see if a blessing would come, but they wouldn't. So what message does Deuteronomy 28 send us? It's for the well-being of the soul. It's for us to enter, go to the Spirit. Then blessing will come to us whether we enter the leave. Blessing to lend but not to borrow. Blessing to become a leaders and so on. But if you live the opposite way, all kinds of curses will upon you, illness, troubles, and the trials. And if you commit a sin that leads to death, disease that leads to death will come. Hosea chapter 10, 12 says, "Sow with a view of the righteousness, reap in accordance with the kindness, break up your fallow ground. For it's time to seek the Lord until He comes to rain righteousness on you." The Bible contained many words of the blessing. Even reading and practicing just one verse will bring blessing. Now is the time to seek the Lord. Don't give up. It's not too late to knock on God's door. Even now, kneel before God and humbly declare, "I'm a weak person. Now I will live a good life according to God's word. I will truly cast away my heart and the hurt and change it into the soft heart, a loving heart, a gentle heart. Father God, please help me. I will do my best to change quickly." Please kneel down before God and pray like that. Become humbled like this, please. Break up the fallow ground, for the Lord will come and rain down the righteousness on you. All of these words are God's words. If you hold on to them and follow them, they are all words of a blessing. Do these words have something in common? They command us to eliminate the evil, to abandon our hurt and hurts, and to abandon untruth in both the Old and the New Testaments. When I was a new believer, I was overwhelmed and overjoyed to discover so many blessings in the Bible. It was so clear to me that holding onto these words and praying them would bring blessings. So before I started my church, I memorized a lot of scriptures. I memorized scriptures that were good for me without thinking about it. I memorized the good verses in the Bible to keep it mind. Even memorizing and practicing just one verse is a blessing. But you don't have to memorize just one. It's even better to memorize and practice it many times. Once again, let me read Hosea chapter 10, 12. All of these words are God's words. If you hold on them and follow them, they are all words of a blessing. Therefore, may you possess the blessed field of a mind that produces the rich nine fruits of a Holy Spirit rather than a field of a mind that produces the thorn and the thistles.
Hallelujah! Almighty Father God of love, please lay your hands on all brothers and sisters receiving this prayer here in attendance. Lay your hands on all the members of the branch churches and local centuries, and all the GCN TV viewers, and those who are watching via satellites, cables, and internet all over the world, transcending space and time. Plant faith in their hearts and drive out their negative thoughts and doubts. Let all the trials and afflictions leave them. By the fire of the Holy Spirit, from head to toe, scorch their sick and affected parts, including all cells, tissues and nerves, all internal organs and intestines. Let the light of creation come upon them. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, all diseases, germs and viruses, and infirmities, go away. Let the light shine on them. Scorch their incurable and long-term diseases by the fire of the Holy Spirit. Burn all kinds of endemic and contagious diseases like malaria. Be cleansed and made well. All epidemic diseases such as colds and fever, go away from them. Protect them from any kinds of germs and viruses and bacteria. Heal them of all kinds of cancers like stomach cancer, lung cancer, liver cancer, breast cancer, womb cancer, intestinal cancer, and all other diseases like AIDS, leukemia, cerebral apoplexy, high blood pressure, low blood pressure, heart disease, lung disease, diabetes, women's diseases, thyroid diseases, and all inflammations. Let them be made whole from polio, stroke, arthritis, herniated discs, and many others. Let all kinds of pains disappear from them, like back pain, headache, and neuralgia. Set them free from epilepsy, autism, depression, neurosis, and all other mental diseases. Loosen them from all kinds of paralysis, and let them get up, walk, and jump. Let them regain good eyesight and restore good hearing. Let the blind open their eyes, and the deaf come to hear, and mute begin to speak. Heal them of after effects of all kinds of accidents. Restore their ruptured and broken bones. Restore them from burns, and let the heat and burning sensation go away from them. Father, let there be no scars left. Be cleansed from all kinds of drug addictions and poisoning. Father, regenerate dead nerves, tissues and cells, and bring the dead back to life. Father, please bless them to conceive a baby. Bless them to conceive a baby. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, the ruler of the air, the evil forces and their servants, go away from them. Go away, you evil spirits, unclean spirits, deceiving spirits, spirits of falsehood, separating spirits and all forces of darkness. Loosen all bonds of wickedness and darkness and go away from them. Let the light shine on them. Father God, give them strength to cry out in their prayer and empower them with the power to cast off sins and become sanctified. Let them be in good health as their soul becomes prosperous, and let their family be evangelized. Protect them from all kinds of accidents and disasters, and bless them to lead a successful and prosperous life in everything. Please protect your children, their home, their business, and their work by the fiery hedge of the Holy Spirit, with the heavenly host and angels, and with your blazing eyes. Give students wisdom and understanding, and fill their hearts with more passion and desire for study. Keep their hearts and minds from worldly things, and plant into their hearts more fervent love for God. Bless your children, and let them give glory to you in everything they do, whether they eat or drink or whatever they do. Let them confess and testify to the living God, I've met God, I've experienced God, and received His answers and blessings. Father God, thank you. Let all glory be to you alone. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.